This is Rainmaker.fm, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at hacktheentrepreneur.com/Rainmaker. That's hacktheentrepreneur.com/Rainmaker.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome back, everybody, to Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest is a social entrepreneur. About 10 years ago, she took some off-the-cuff advice that you should build your career around three things you are passionate about. For my guest, these three things are music, charity, and the environment. She is now the founder of Listen Headphones, a headphone company with a passion to bring hearing to those without. You've probably been one of the millions of people to see the commercial on YouTube where they put headphones into the young girl's ears as you can see her for the first time being able to hear, and the look on her face. That's Listen. Every pair of headphones Listen sells gives the gift of hearing to someone. They have been able to give the gift of sound to over 15,000 people now in the US, Kenya, Peru, and Uganda. Prior to founding her own company, my guest worked her way up from working at a record store, then promoting concerts, and eventually landed at Universal Music Group at the age of 19. Now, let's hack. Bridget Hilton. I want to thank today's sponsor, FreshBooks, for making my life easier. What is the one thing that I am no good at? I am horrible at staying on top of my bookkeeping and accounting for my business. But now, rather than losing the receipts and handing my accountant this giant, messy box of papers, FreshBooks has this amazing app for my iPhone and lets me instantly just take pictures of receipts and sort them by touching a couple buttons. FreshBooks is designed for small business owners like you and me. FreshBooks integrates directly with three things that I use every single day in my business: PayPal, Stripe, and MailChimp. To start your 30-day free trial today, go to freshbooks.com/hack. And don't forget to enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. We are back on another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and I want to welcome Bridget to the show. Welcome, Bridget.
Hi, everyone.
Thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate it. Bridget, let's jump straight into this. Can you tell me, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Personally, I think that self-education is really, really important. I know everyone reads, especially entrepreneurs, but I like to really hold myself to that. And I read about a book a week, if not more. And then I read like every single, you know, magazine, blog out there about, you know, business. I just really, I think it's super important to keep yourself informed and educated and, you know, in the know about things. I also think it's really important to travel and just to experience different cultures and learn about the different people of the world and how, you know, their, you know, maybe their buying habits are different than the ones here. And in order to grow your company, maybe globally, it's really important to travel.
Yeah. So two interesting things. So reading, and you read a lot, like voraciously, business books.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What's the one that sticks out to you in the last 6 months or something?
Last 6 months. Well, my favorite business book of all time is 4-Hour Workweek, but I know that, you know, most people would probably say
that's all
that.
Of ours, yes.
So I'm not that unique. But in the last 6 months, I really like the Creativity Inc. by the guy who started Pixar is really good.
Oh, wow.
I really like Girl Boss by Sophia from Nasty Gal. It's a great one. Smart Cuts is really good. There's been like so many good ones in the last year. I can't even tell you. Just amazing books.
Nice. So And travel, do you think travel, besides just showing you different markets, do you think maybe it teaches you resilience or dealing with the unknown or other things that might help you as you kind of sort out how to grow, build and grow? Well, start, build and grow a business.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it definitely teaches you resilience. You know, like if I can go to China alone or, you know, with one other person and figure out how to manufacture things there by ourselves, I think that we can handle a lot of things, you know, here in the US. It's definitely a lot harder to go places and deal with the unknown, but it makes everything, you know, back here in the US a lot easier on you, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it's good just to like meet different people and see how they react to different products and different cultures. And I love it. Like we travel probably 50% of the time.
Yeah. I think it's, yeah, to me, it's really helped with that unknowns. I had a guest on here and he related it to being able to land in an airport that he's never been to with where there's a language that he doesn't speak at all. And he feels totally comfortable in it. And he's kind of related that to business, how every day, basically, you're doing stuff you've probably never done before. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to just guide your way through it. And just the whole trick is kind of just not freaking out and just kind of confidently going about it, right?
I mean, fake it before you make it.
That exactly. The whole trick.
I mean, yeah, it's funny. I was just talking about that maybe an hour ago with one of our interns was asking me, like, what's the, you know, the biggest challenge? And it's the biggest benefit at the same time. And it's definitely learning things that you have no idea how to do and like just doing it and just like kind of acting like you know how to do it when you really don't.
Yeah. Well, nobody really knows what they're doing. I've learned this now and yeah. I've come to like, no, before you do it, you don't know how to do anything. It's just how it is. Right. And
exactly.
You can, yeah. People can look at you and say, wow, you run this great business. Like, yeah, well, a few years ago I had never run a business. So
exactly. Do, and everyone is like scared, you know, they're, oh, I can't do this because I've never done it before. It's like, well, no one started doing that. I mean, everyone starts in a garage or in an apartment or whatever, you know, no one just is like, I mean, very few people are just like born with like, oh, here's $1 billion to start a company.
Exactly. And if you were born with $1 billion, you probably wouldn't start a company.
No, it's way too much work.
All right. So let's go to starting. I find that there's a time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they have this calling to make something big and make a difference in the world, or they simply just cannot work for somebody else. So Bridget, can you tell me where you fit into that spectrum and when you sort of discovered this about yourself?
Sure. So I mean, I agree with both points. I think that it would be really hard for me to work for someone else, especially now after I've, you know, spent a few years not working for, you know, someone else. I think that I just not really into that. But so my entire history of my career was all in the music business. So I've been doing this since I was a kid. You know, I started when I was 15 years old working at like venues, and then I worked at, you know, I wrote reviews about different records for a newspaper. And then eventually I landed at a record label, which is what I wanted to do when I was a kid. So I started when I was 18 at Universal Music Group, like the biggest music company in the world. It was great for a few years. And, you know, I got to hang out with musicians and go to all these concerts. And, you know, it was really cool. But the music industry is it's not a great industry. And so it was kind of just going downhill. And I was looking to get out, you know, a few years ago, trying to do something on my own. I didn't really want to work for anyone else. And around that time, I'd seen a YouTube video about a woman that was hearing for the very first time. And she was around the same age as I was. And it was just like super kind of light bulb moment of like, wow, like I can't imagine my life without music, like what the world would be like without sound. And so that kind of jump-started my need to start my own thing that mattered. And so I wanted to, like, you know, give back to people who couldn't hear. So that was kind of the whole reason behind starting Listen. So we sell headphones and, you know, upcoming, we'll sell speakers and other music products. Wow. But the proceeds go to giving people hearing for the very first time.
Wow.
So, you know, like our company was started on not only because we didn't want to work for anyone else, because who wants that? But also because, you know, we did have like kind of a higher purpose to starting a company.
And of all the companies you could have started, a headphone company is definitely not one of the easiest ones.
No. The funny thing is that I really didn't know before starting it that there was that many. Like, I knew about, like, you know, Beats and Skullcandy and Soul Republic or whatever, but yeah. I didn't know that there was like thousands of headphone companies out there.
Yeah, and just the manufacturing of them. I mean, getting them into stores, I guess, everything.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's a lot. It is. It's intense. I mean, you know, like I went to CES just like a month ago, and just walking around, you just get like overwhelmed with the amount of competition that you have. It's a really intense industry. But I mean, when we started, we wanted to do headphones first because there was all these other companies doing it. But at the same time, there was nothing that we felt that really, you know, like met our expectations, or, you know, maybe like our fashion sense, I guess. I'm not, you know, super fashionable, but I didn't want to wear something that was like plastic and bright green or something like that. So we made them into like kind of a classic looking product, something that would be cool in like 5 or 10 years, like a, you know, like a Levi's or Ray-Ban. You know, you can't tell if it's 10 years old because it looks the same as it did 10 years ago.
Nice.
So yeah, that's kind of why we chose headphones. And it's a great vehicle to give, you know, to hearing, because it just relates so well, and, you know, as well as speakers and everything.
Yeah. And when did you say you started Listen?
We launched officially in April 2013.
Wow.
We had been working on it for like 6 months prior to that.
April 2013. Is there anything that, if you could go back now to April 2013 with what you know about the business and about business in general, that you would do differently?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think I would have started earlier if I could have. That's like the number one thing. I don't think that I should have spent so much time working for someone else, because working for myself has been the best experience of my entire life. But other than that, I mean, of course, there's a ton of things that I would have done if I would have known what I know now. And I wouldn't have worked so hard on certain, maybe like press outlets or certain sales accounts that might not matter. I mean, for example, like with press, like we've been reviewed in like, say, like 500 outlets. Like we've been in tons and like tons of press, but maybe only, you know, the 1% of that has actually mattered.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of distraction. Like we've been, you know, super distracted by so many things, and where we could have just really focused on like the top 10, you know, electronics blogs or whatever, and then we would have gotten the same output. So if I would have known that, then we probably could have saved a lot of time and money. But, you know, you live and you learn.
Yeah. So since then, I guess you've read the 80-20.
Oh, yeah.
By what, Richard Kotcher? Like, so it's kind of teaches you, I guess, that now.
I mean, and it's so true. I mean, we can pinpoint exactly, you know, what has mattered and what hasn't mattered.
That 20%. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's move to work. Because you told me you travel almost 50% of the time and you're running a successful company. It's got to be a hard thing to do. So today's a work day, Bridget. Could you say, walk us through the first, say, 30 minutes of your morning routine for this morning to kind of set yourself up to do what it is you need to do?
Sure. So yeah, every single day is different. But today, I mean, I had a call with one of our salespeople, and just we're trying to get into a major retailer. I'm not going to name names, but it's one of the top two in the world. So I had a call with them, and we're just like, you know, discussing our strategy and whatnot. And then I had a call with our lawyer, who we talked to quite a bit. Very important to get a good lawyer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I came into the office, and we just moved into a new office. So we're kind of getting it ready and like getting all the new furniture and everything. And we have interns that are, you know, stopping their semester soon. So they had to like do a project on the company. So I did some interviews with them. And, you know, it's every day is different, but it's always fun. I really like being here in LA and in the office, because unfortunately, like fortunately and unfortunately, we travel so much that we don't probably spend, like, me and my business partner probably don't spend enough time here. But so we just got back from Europe, so now I can be here like all month. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Nice. Nice.
But I don't have like a certain routine as far as like every day I get up and work out for, you know, however many minutes. And I don't really do that because it's just so hard because of our schedules.
Yeah. And so do you even work a set like work day, or do you kind of just, is this what you do now?
I just, this is just what I do now.
It kind of seems like that, yeah.
Yeah, there's no like set, like, oh,
okay, well, it's 5 o'clock.
5, and yep. Then I'm good. I'm done. No, we work all the time. Like, there's no stopping. But at the same time, like, you know, work could mean that we're in, you know, we're going to a safari in the Masai Mara in Kenya with our charity partner. Like, it's not always like, you know, super hard or anything. It's just, it is really always kind of work related, most of the things that we do. But I don't mind at all. I love it. I love what we do. And it's very fulfilling. And, you know, it's really a great experience to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah, exactly. So at the beginning, you told us that you're great at self-educating and just reading and consuming information voraciously to stay on top. Mm-hmm. Can you now, Bridget, tell us something in your business that you've discovered since April 2013 that you're just not good at?
There's a lot of things I'm not good at, but luckily I have business partners. I tend to stay on the marketing, PR, branding, product development type things. I typically, you know, have my business partners work on, like, you know, the taxes and the operations and the payroll and all of those things that I personally am not very good at. So, and I really don't even care to be good at them. I just want to focus on like how we can make our company bigger and better and more visible. But yeah, they definitely take on some of the not as fun parts of it. So grateful for them.
Yeah. How do we find these business partners that want to just do the taxes and the bookkeeping? The boring thing. It's funny because I never end up talking to them.
I'm really lucky.
Yeah. They're never the people that want to get onto these conversations though. I guess because they would just talk numbers and spreadsheets and it would be kind of like, okay, I get it.
Yeah. That's the less sexy side of it, but it is definitely the most important side. Like, you have to have both, you know, you have to have someone who, you know, maybe not enjoys it, but that doesn't mind doing that, because I would not be very good at that at all.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move to struggles and failures, because as entrepreneurs and as human beings, one of our greatest struggles always is the fear of being wrong and just failing. So as you're launching a business and sort of figuring this whole thing out, I'm sure you make decisions to do things as a business that end up not being absolutely correct. So could you, Bridget, sort of tell us, can you tell us how to be wrong?
Well, I've certainly been wrong a lot. I don't know how to be wrong. I guess it is hard to, you know, fess up and say I was wrong, you know, this was my fault. And especially hard when you're in a small company, because everything that you do affects, you know, the other people in it. And I don't know how to be wrong. I can give you an example of when I was wrong.
Yeah, let's do that.
We did a television show back in November, and we had to give away product to the audience. And you would think, because it was one of the biggest TV shows, like, you know, in the US, that we would get some sort of traffic or something from that. But no, we got nothing. And so we just gave away like a ton of product for no traffic to our website. And really, we got nothing out of it. And, you know, I was kind of like the one that was like, oh, let's do this, you know. So I had to come back to our team and be like, you know what, I made a mistake. We shouldn't have done that. We wasted a lot of money. We could have, you know, done a lot better things. And I think as long as you, you know, fess up to it, you don't place blame on anyone else. You can't say like, oh, well, my employee did that. And it's like, if your employees are doing something wrong, then it's probably you.
Exactly.
So I think that's a good way to be wrong, is just to make sure that you're honest about it, honest with yourself and with your employees and with your team, and they'll respect that, and they'll respect it more than saying like, oh, well, you know, it was your fault.
Yeah, because you're right. Even if your employee does something, it is probably ultimately your fault, because you probably sent them in that direction.
Right.
So did you sit down ever and figure out, or maybe you didn't sit down, maybe you were on a plane, but figure out why you didn't sell anything from a giant TV show?
I honestly think that, you know, in the press, this is something that we're so on top of usually, is there's only, you know, a few things that matter. And there's like a lot of big names out there. It's like, oh, if you're in like the New York Times or if you're in whatever, then it must mean that you're a huge company. But that's not true, because if you're in these like niche sites, if you, you know, cater directly to your audience, it's going to go a lot farther than if you cater to a general audience. Like this was like a daytime show that was like definitely not our target market. But I thought that, you know, there's probably some people out there that care. But, you know, there's just so much stuff on TV at all times. There's like constant advertisements, constant, like on the web and TV and, you know, billboards and whatnot. And so there's so much noise out there that your time is better suited for catering to your niche rather than the general public, I think. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what we learned there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, people like to like say that that's probably the case and that you should obviously just target your specific audience. But you would think you have this massive platform right. to go. Like, obviously some people are going to like it, but no. Turns out that's not the case. You have stats to prove it.
Right, exactly. Oh, I mean, we have so many stats. I mean, like, if you look at, like, the, like, we'll have giant, giant celebrities, like, tweet about us, for example. And it will, I'm not even kidding, it won't even get 5 hits to the website. But if we were on, like, some random weird site that we've never heard of, get, like, you know, thousands of hits. It's just, it's really random. And you have to kind of, like, figure out what it is. But I think that the public is definitely smarter. And they know that when they're being like marketed to, and you know, social media is so busy, so you can't really, you know, can't rely on like celebrity or, you know, TV or.
Yeah. And I love that. It's like the internet to me is the great equalizer, because this giant celebrity with millions of followers tweets it out in like 5 people. Yeah. And then something you've never heard of sends like thousands of people.
It happens,
and
it's like, all the time.
That's amazing. I know. That's amazing, isn't it?
It's
I love that.
Crazy. I mean, we could, and it's really sad because then we get excited. Oh, like this person's going to like talk about it, and then nothing happens.
Yeah. But even, I mean, like you guys, like I was saying before, like my daughter who's 10 knows who you guys are. She's like, that's listen. I see them on YouTube. I see their ad all the time. I was like, wow, that's amazing, because it's, you're right. You're not Beats. You're not like Skull Candy, like these massive, massive companies with like literally billions of dollars behind them.
Right.
And what you said, how many people have seen, have you had views on YouTube?
Oh yeah. We have like almost 27 million views on YouTube.
That's awesome.
It's pretty
That's
crazy.
So good. I love it. I love it. So, okay. Before we wrap up, I need to go to projects with you. So projects can be a loose term, kind of meaning you said you want to get into other products as in speakers and such too. How is it now in where Listen is at this point? How would you guys go about deciding, or how would you go about deciding what it is, a new project or something you guys should take on in your business and go kind of all in on that, like say speakers or something?
So I think with speakers, it's pretty, you know, logical expansion of our brand, but we also are being smarter about it now rather than saying like, oh, we'll just do this and then like maybe it'll sell, who knows, like that's kind of what we did at the beginning and it wasn't very smart, but luckily it ended up like working out. But so with the speakers, like we, you know, we met with Nordstrom, we met with Brookstone and like all of our big retailers, and we said, you know, hey, like this is what we're thinking about doing, like what do you guys need? And we know that we can sell a lot online, like on our site, because we have incredible fans of our brand that will, you know, purchase our products because they feel like they're a part of what we're doing. You know, they're part of like something that's bigger than just a headphone company. So we know that we can sell like, you know, minimal amount on our site. But then to get into these massive accounts, like we kind of have to cater to them a little bit. To say like, okay, if we make this, are you going to buy it or not, basically? And if they say yes, then like, at least we know, you know, that we're not making something just for the site. We're making something for like the general, like all the big stores, which is really becoming increasingly important for us.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, say, like, you know, Brookstone in an airport, it's like in every airport in the US. And so for us to have a presence there, it's really important.
Yeah, I would think so. And having those raving fans.
Yeah.
Is also,
I mean,
that's amazing.
We have really incredible people that like our brand. I mean, we got, you know, super lucky with our customers.
Or not lucky. You're the one in charge of branding. True. You can take it. Take the credit. It's okay.
I mean, we're very humble.
Yeah, that's good. Well, Bridget, it's awesome to watch what you guys are doing. And we've got to talk about your company in passing, sort of. But can you specifically tell the listeners where they can go find out more about you and your company?
Sure. So our website is listenheadphones.com, spelled LSTNheadphones.com. We sell there, and we also sell in a lot of locations around the country and internationally. So, yeah.
Excellent. Is your mission still to change the world through the power of music?
It definitely is. That was where we started, and that's where we keep going. So far, we've been able to help over 20,000 people here for the very first time.
It's amazing.
It's been a crazy experience and a great experience. We've been all over the world, and we're just that excited.
Yeah, that's a beautiful and amazing mission to have, and you are definitely, well, 20,000 people. I would say you've succeeded at this point for those 20,000. That's amazing, and I think you're just getting going. So thank you so much for taking the time to stop by and chat, and I will link to your site on the show notes for everyone so that it's easy for them to find, and yeah, just keep doing what you're doing, Bridget, because it's great to watch, and you're helping a lot of people.
Great. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate
it. My pleasure. Bridget, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining me today, and thank you so much for what you're doing, and you're pouring your heart and soul and life into not just a business, but like a social entrepreneurial endeavor to help other people. You've given the gift of sound to over 15,000 people now, and that's amazing. And if you're out there listening and you in any way want to help people with this, get this gift of sound and be able to enjoy music and to be able to enjoy podcasts the way we can and get the benefit out of both of those things, listen to headphones. It's the place to do it. LSTNheadphones.com. Check it out. I mean, every pair that gets bought, they literally give some one person the gift of sound. That is amazing. If you need a pair for a gift for somebody or for yourself, check it out. These are amazing headphones with amazing reviews, and they do such just amazing things for people. I'm blown away by Bridget. I'm blown away by our company. And I truly, honestly think that it's something that very much needs to be supported. Well, Bridget has a mission of changing the world through the power of music, and she's self-educated through just reading voraciously business books now, and she's doing amazing things. She said a lot of smart things. She said a lot of things that just kind of made me like, wow, stop and think, and she's just powerful stuff, really, truly very cool. But Bridget said one thing, didn't she? She did. She said one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I would have started earlier if I could have. That's like the number one thing. I don't think that I should have spent so much time working for someone else, because working for myself has been the best experience of my entire life.
And that's the hack. Yes, Bridget, working for myself has been the best experience of my life as well. And I appreciate as you say it, and this might be an obvious hack. Maybe that's what it is. And yeah, you know that maybe I like to not pick the obvious ones sometimes, but this one's too much and it's too powerful. And it is echoed amongst so many people that have finally stepped up and taken the chances, taken whatever it is, the hard work to create your own business. Once you do that and a couple years in and it is successful, the biggest regret is always looking back and saying, why did it take me so long to start? That's why I focus so much energy and time of replying to emails, talking to people on Twitter, Facebook, in Facebook groups. And I focus on trying to get people unstuck, because it's that being stuck that stops you from starting. And I know that once you finally get unstuck and you start and you stick with it long enough, big, amazing things will happen for you. And then you will look back and say, John, why didn't I start sooner? Just like Bridget just said, just like I say. And it's just epic. It's a big, big, big thing to get over. And to know that when you're in that situation and you're stuck, I know it's hard looking forward, being you don't know where to go, you don't know what to do next. But it's even harder and even worse once you have taken those steps and you look back and think of the years and the months that you've just wasted not starting. So Bridget, thank you so much. That is one of my favorite hacks I've had yet. Thank you. All right, everybody. It's been a lot of fun. Hacktheentrepreneur.com. I am still giving away 10 Seth Godin books. It's your turn. This kind of works well with this, actually. It is your turn. It's your turn. The internet gives you that power. It's just time for you to step up and do it. This is a book that will inspire you to do just that. I am giving away 2 copies every week via my newsletter that comes out Sunday afternoon. 2 copies every week for the next 5 weeks. Get on that email list. I'm going to randomly pick 2 people, and you will get a book delivered straight to your door, autographed by me, Johnny. What more could you ask for? So get on the email list. You'll see the place to email opt-in at the top with my face beside it. Put it in there, or go to hacktheentrepreneur.com/Seth if you want a particular page just for it. And I would love to hear it. The newsletter is the best writing I do every week. I work really hard at it. I really enjoy it. And I love the feedback that I'm getting. But again, thank you so much. It's awesome that you join me. It's awesome that you are out there. And I'm just so happy to have this connection with you. You can, again, once you get on that email list, hit reply to even the welcome email. It comes straight to my phone, straight to my laptop. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear where you are, what you're up to, and what I can possibly help you with. But it's been fun. And I thank you again, because there's a lot of options and it's great that you stopped by for a half hour. Until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.